right over there.
Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers.
I wish I could live in a fantasy world where everything just fake believe, where nothing is wrong in the words of my song. Your love is all that I ever need. When I turn to the time that my heart wasn't mine, baby, I'm lost, lost, lost in my own reality. But all you got to do is, baby, hold, hold on to me. When I'm not that free, your love is all that I need. Whoa, whoa, American dream, home in the hills. Every day, like an emerald through time, to the arms that my destiny holds. When war is all gone, and my father comes home, our love will never, 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 never grow. When I turn to the time that my heart wasn't mine, baby, I'm lost, lost, lost in my own reality. But all you got to do for me, baby, is just hold, hold on to me. Can't you see I'm not that free? Your love, your love is all that I ever need. My American dream.
I have a dream this afternoon that the brotherhood of man will become a reality in this day, with this faith. I will go out by the tunnel of hope to the mountain of despair with this faith. And transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrow. With this faith, we will be able to achieve this new day.
I want everybody to look at the board and help me sing a song. Rainbows, blue skies.
All right. We're back. My name is Yamsuf Arif, along with my fellow co-students, Sister Avia from New York City and Brother Cartier from New York City. We're here to you to bring these studies of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. We try to give you a bird's eye view, a critical analysis and assessment to reverse engineer what is going on. And then to not have a warm, fuzzy feeling, but be crucial in our understanding the imperativeness of having a relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and our brothers and sisters. And you see why I say our brothers and sisters. Our relationships are a hot mess with our brothers and sisters. Case in point, the wife and I went to Nashville on a first year anniversary, just to get away from Nashville, get away. She and I went into a grocery mart, and I say this all the time, a grocery mart, a little corner store. Some of you call it bodegas if you're from New York or whatnot, to get something, refreshments and whatnot. Now, I said that we hate anything that remotely looks like us. It's true. There was two sisters working in this, so along with another person of mixed race, Arab of mixed race. He was quite pleasant. The sisters looked like we stole something from them. I tell the wife all the time, we need these studies because we hate what remotely looks like us, and the evidence doesn't lie. Throughout all our communities, universally, instead of supporting and loving and building each other up, we do quite the opposite. That's the reason why we need these studies also, to learn to have a constructive and positive relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, most importantly, and in order the importance of having relationships, constructive ones, with one another. These studies that we have been approaching the last few days have been about relationships. Family relationships are very significant. They are important. It's okay to bump head. Katriel said he bumped head with his sister, Adina, all the time, his brother. I used to bump head with anybody. I used to run into the wall sometimes just for the sake of it. But that being said, as Katriel said, don't get the game twisted. Just because I break head with my spouse as a bump head, that don't mean I don't love them. And that's why we have to learn the importance of loving your family, because that's all you got. And we're all we got. Learn to exercise constructive and positive relationships instead of bumping heads just for the sake of bumping heads, just like Yom Suf did. And learn to be positive in your approach, most importantly, with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and with your family members, because that's your blood. That's all you got. And we are all we have. So, you may be wondering, Yom Suf, you just mentioned two people, the students along with you. Yes, Cartrell. Yes, Sustavia. They're both from New York City. And you may ask, what do I know about them? All I need to know about, and all you need to know about them, and all we need to know about any one of us for that matter. Do we love the Most High with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength? And our brothers and sisters, as I said, not just lip service, but by virtue of our actions. And surely in regard to Cartrell and Sister Abby, they do. They do. Praise Yah and bless his holy name that they do, because they're not getting paid for this. They're doing this as a labor of love, because they want to solidify their relationship with the Most High. And they want you to learn to solidify your relationship with the Most High and with one another. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So, without further ado, let me bring them on for you. So, Savia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family, and all praises and glory to Yah. You know, I don't think too much about this being labor at all, because this
right.
just gives me, it makes me happy, gives me joy to hear Yah's word. So I'm glad to be here.
True. And then at night when I'm feeling down and out, feeling the blues somewhat, after we've done these studies, it always gives me a chance to just go right over into meditation. Yes,
uplifting.
These studies are
uplifting.
Yes, they're very important. They're very important for every aspect of your lives. Praise the Most High. Thank you, Sister Abigail. May the Most High bless you.
Bless
All
you.
All right.
Too. Praise you.
Praise Yah. Thank you, sister. Now, Katriel, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family. All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's good to hear your voices. How y'all doing?
Doing okay, brother.
Doing good. And great to hear your voice, too, brother.
It's praise a pleasure, God. Brother. It's a pleasure to hear your voice. Praise
God. Yes, sir. I just want to know y'all, too.
Yes.
How old were you when you was running into these walls? And why were you running? Why was you running into these walls?
Metaphorically, so to speak, 9 years old. Yeah, I've been bumping them walls, brother.
And you just kept doing it over and over again. It didn't hurt.
It did hurt, but you know, when you're a crash dummy, you don't know no better.
Man, I see people bang their heads in the wall. I don't understand it myself.
I thought he was going to repeat that saying, doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result. That sounds like, you know what?
and it's true. And I said that to say this, and I'm glad Cartrell mentioned it and brought it up. We are like that 9-year-old Yom Suf, bumping their heads into the wall, doing it over and over again, expecting different results. And it's just going to be the same, a hard head and a whoop behind when mom and daddy catch up with you. And you better believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. I do love my people. I know Sister Abia and you love our people. That's why we're here. Because when you have the light and understanding, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to share it. You're not supposed to keep it to yourself. The Most High has given us the antidote on how to get up out of the situation. And it's incumbent upon us to share it with our people. Now, it's on them, whether they heed or whether they forbear, whether they take it or leave it. But you can't blame us for not bringing it to the public because we know.
Exactly. We're doing our part, Katya, and I'm glad you pointed that out, too. We're going to do our part. Now, it's up to you to do your part. Praise God.
And don't kill the messenger.
No. They good at that, Katya. You already know that. They good at that. I mean, look at the prophets, the ancient prophets. Look at Moses.
Oh, yeah.
Moses trying to bring some love to a stiff-necked, stubborn people. And my, how they talk bad about their brother. I can imagine some of them in their tents, gotcha. Old stud, no food, came halfway, and Eric got to talk for me. What y'all got to talk for him for? He can talk to me. I don't need that stuttering brother to come tell me nut. I know how we talk, gotcha. Okay?
Not only did he stutter, but he killed that Egyptian police officer.
He's
a murderer.
Oh, high and mighty. He wasn't doing that when he run off after he killed that misery night police officer. He run off. Now he coming back ruling over us. The man ain't trying to rule over nobody. He's brought the Most High information to them. But that's how some of us think, Katria.
Yeah, you can't please everybody.
You can't, Katria. Try as we may. That's why I just want Cartrell to be the best Cartrell he can be. I want Sister Avia to be the best Avia she can be, and Yom Suf be the best Yom Suf, and each one of you be the best individual you can be according to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Otherwise, you can do no more. Praise God.
And reflecting on our study, when we look at our ancient fathers, they wasn't perfect either.
Not one of them. Not one of them, Cartrell. Not one. But they had a perfect relationship. Yeah, because they had a perfect relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And they had a constructive and positive relationship with one another. Praise the Most High. We need to learn those lessons. Cartrell?
Yes, sir. Y'all?
Fellow students, are y'all ready to put in some work for the Most High and each other?
No doubt.
Let's do it. Chapter 46 of Bereshit. Yaakov, Israel, journeys to Mizraim to live and see his son, who he's missed for countless years. Let's see what's going on here. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba. And he did the most important thing, first and foremost, offered sacrifice to Yah of his father, Isaac. Then Yah spoke. Yeah, go ahead, Katya.
You remember Beersheba, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's where Abraham met the Most High. That's where Isaac met the Most High. And mm-hmm. Jacob met the Most High. All of them met the Most High at Beersheba.
Beersheba. And he goes there to get some wisdom and understanding and some sense of direction and a purpose from Yah. And Yah gives it to him. Thank you, God. You're pointing that out to these students. You need to keep that as a special note in your mind. Yah spoke to Israel in the visions of the night, the dream, and said, Yaqub. He said, Yaqub, here I am. So he said, I am Yah, the Elohim of your father. Do not fear to go down to Mizraim, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Mizraim, and I will also surely bring you up again. I'm going to bring you up out of there. This is a temporary thing. This is not a permanent thing, just like our captivity now. And Zolu will put his hand on your eyes. Zolu's going to put you to rest. Zolu's going to put you night-night. You're going to meet your son. You're going to reestablish your relationship. And in your further old age, your eyes going to go to night-night.
So, Yonso.
Yes, go ahead.
How is the Most High speaking to Jacob?
Speaking to him in a dream.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But
so that's why he was, huh?
Israel knew him. He knew who was talking to him.
That's why he paid attention to Joseph's dreams, because that's
exactly
how the Most High communicated with him.
Exactly. Great point, Katria. That's a great point. Great mm-hmm. job. All right. Thank you, Gautrell. Then Yaqub arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father, Yaqub, their little ones, their wives, and the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him, provided. So they took their livestock, their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Mizraim. Yaqub and all his descendants with him, his sons, his daughter, and his sons, daughters, and all his descendants to be brought with him to Mizraim. Now, these were the names of the children of Israel, Yaqub and his sons, who went to Mizraim. Reuben was Yaqub's firstborn. The sons of Reuben was Hanok, Palu, Haran, Kami. The sons of Simeon was Yemiel, Zamin, Ohad, Yachin, Zohar, Shuar, the son of the Canaanite woman, The sons of Levi was Gershon, Kohat, Merah. The sons of Judah were Onan, which you know they died, Shelah, Perez, Zara, but and Honan died in the land of Canaan. We studied that. The son of Perez was Hezron, Homu. The sons of Hezekiah were Tola, Huba, Zob, Shimon. The sons of Zebulun were Seri, Elon, and Jahiel. These were the sons of Leah that he had by Leah, whom she bore to Yaqub and Paran Aram. With his daughter, we knew about her. She was out of place, just like a lot of our sisters now was out of place, who are out of place. Dina, trying to get along, trying to find some friendship in all the faces and all the wrong places. All the persons, his sons and his daughter, were 33. The sons of God was Zephon, Haggai, Shunna, Esbon, Eric, Ordi, Ariel. The son of Asher was Jimna, Ishua, Ishi, Bariah, Shariah, their sister. And the sons of Bariah was Heber, Meshil. These were the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah, her handmaid. His daughter, and these were born to Jacob, 16 persons, the sons of Rachel. Jacob's wife was Joseph and Benjamin. And to Joseph in the land of Mizraim was born Manasseh. Keep this in mind. Ephraim, whom Asena, the daughter of Potipharah, the minister, the priest of On, which I said it was the son priest, bore to him. The sons of Benjamin were Bala, Beshah, Asbel, Gera, Naaman, boy, that boy was, he was fertile, wasn't he? Rosh, Muffin, Huffin, Ad. These were the sons of Rachel who were born to Jacob, 14 persons in all. The son of Dan was Hashum. The sons of Naphtali was Jaaziah, Guni, Zazur, Shilam. These were the sons of Bala, whom Laban, his uncle, gave to Rachel, his daughter, her handmaid, and she bore these to Jacob, 7 persons in all. All the persons who went with Jacob to Mizraim, who came from his body, besides Jacob's wives, were 66 persons in all. And the sons of Joseph were born to him in Mizraim were 2 persons. All the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Mizraim were 70 in all. And see, here's what, keep in mind the lineage. They tell you, forget about Christianity will cover everything. Don't even think about your lineage. That's the lie they tell you, because they don't want you to know your lineage. Lineage is important. Don't never let them tell you not to study where you come from. Okay? Because they sure know where they come from. They show marching in the Irish parade. They show marching in the Italian parade. They show marching in the Polish parade. But they tell you in your university captivity, in your community, oh, don't worry about that. You shouldn't bother yourself with that stuff. Christianity, it eradicates all that, but they know where they come from.
And they mock their history, don't they? They got presidents.
You better.
You got to go to school and learn the Constitution and learn about George Washington and Hamilton and Paul Revere and who else? Christopher Columbus. And
right.
You got to learn about all of them, don't you?
Oh, yeah. But they tell you, forget about forget about all that. Jesus covered you with the blood, and you just forget about all that. Jesus got to cover it. But now, we know we Polish and Italians and Greeks and whatnot, but Jesus got you covered, but we know where we come from.
And then they tell you, it doesn't matter if you're black or white or purple or green, right? Who's black or white or purple or green? No. Why are you throwing colors out there?
Mm-hmm.
But did you notice, Yasuf, Sister Abby?
Yes, my brother.
You paused on it, but I bet you ain't noticed it.
I know. That's why we studied together. That's why we 3 strong. 1 court. 3 strong. What did I miss, Kadri?
How many sons did Benjamin have?
Oh, let me count them up. Benjamin?
Wow.
Go back up. I know he had quite a few. That boy was a few times.
Wasn't it 10?
I'm finna count them up, Sister Abby. I'm going to get to him. Okay. Okay. He had 12 sons.
12?
Because, I think, okay. Let me count them up. Okay. Let me count it. On board him, the son of Benjamin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, boy,
he believed in be fruitful and multiply.
So like he almost had as many children as his father had.
Exactly.
But when you read the story about them bringing Benjamin to Egypt, you would think
right.
he's just a little boy. No, he's not a little boy. He got 10 children.
He got 10 children. Ooh. Yeah. He ain't no little boy. He's 20-something years old. And that boy putting in work.
Prolific.
Yeah.
Ooh. But you also notice that Simeon married a Canaanite too. I imagine they all must have married Canaanites because they were surrounded by them.
Right.
But it talks about Simeon. Sons of Simeon.
Right.
Yemuel, Yamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman.
Uh-huh.
That's important to know because we know that Canaanites were Hamites, right?
Exactly.
And Europeans try to say Ham was cursed black. But we see that the children of Israel intermingled with all kind of Hamites, Egyptians, Ethiopians, and Canaanites. When we weren't even supposed to intermingle with Canaanites. But our first fathers, Simeon and Judah, had children by a Canaanite.
Exactly. And Cottrell is so right if you want to get to the fundamentals. And even if the fundamentals was not right, according to the Most High, about marrying Canaanite women, some of our ancients married Canaanite women, and which were Hamitic women and Mizrenites. Mosiah did. Okay? We're going to study it. All right. Thank you, Cottrell, for pointing that out. They needed that. Matter of fact, they need to write it down. We ain't going to be here forever in a day. Okay? We're putting in our work. Thank you, Cottrell, so much, my brother. Thank you, Sister Abiyah, so much, my sister. And that's what we do. We communicate on this show. That's why we have a solid relationship. We are humble on this show. We love, respect each other on this show. We have common courtesy with one another on this show. And we let each other be each other. And that's the most important part. And we listen to one another. And case in point, his father, even though he's older than his son, is about to listen to the counsel of his son, how he counseled him. And what his counsel is putting him in a prime position so he could provide for his family on the best land. And so when Pharaoh, now I'm getting, Cottrell always get on me by putting the cart before the horse. So let's go back and let's get started, shall we?
Nah, but what you were saying is right, because
right.
Jacob saw in Joseph ability to govern and have authority over things. That's why he put him over his brothers. They didn't understand it, but Jacob saw it in him, but they couldn't see it in him. But it manifested as they got older.
Then they could see it over the course of time. Thank you, Katria. Thank you, Sotavia. And most important, thank you, fellow students. No, not you most important. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And we have this three-quarter relationship. And it's so quite strong because our love for the Elohim and our love for you that we do this.
But you know the story of Joseph? I'm sorry. It reminds me of the Jackson 5 or the Jackson family, right?
Right.
Michael Jackson got older brothers.
Exactly.
And he just started a show. Right?
You better believe it. You better believe it.
So you may have a family, but your younger brother or your younger sister might be the star of the show.
Exactly.
And you got to support them.
Don't get mad. Don't get mad. Because one bad... No, that was some other folks. Them were Osmonds. Then he sent Yehuda before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. So Joseph made ready in his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father, Israel. He presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his father's neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, now let me die since I have seen your face because you are still alive. I'm happy. I can get on out of here now. Then Joseph said to his brothers, and to all of his father's household. He instructed all of them. He didn't leave them nothing. He didn't leave nobody out of the understanding what needs to transpire, because everybody has to be a part of this. Everybody has to be unified in what I'm about to tell y'all. He said, I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, my brother and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds. That's our original occupation. If y'all really want to know occupation, we own lots, stock and cattle and sheep and lambs and goats and whatnot. And we were fieldsmen. I mean, so that's where we originally came from. Okay. If you didn't know, now you know. And they have bought their flocks and their herds and all they have. So it should be when Pharaoh calls you, he said he going to call and talk to y'all. When he calls you, it says, and this is very significant, because if they had said something otherwise, it perhaps wouldn't have worked out for them. But they said something to them that would have worked out for them and worked out for us in a better, well, for the Mizrahimites and for us. And I'm going to say this to us because it worked out for us. It worked out because we had communication. It worked out we had a leader that cared about his people and loved his people and gave him the best. He didn't lie to them and tell them what they wanted to hear. He told them the truth, what they needed to hear, something that was going to work for them instead of on them. He didn't tell
and
them.
And also.
Yeah, go ahead, Contrail. Go ahead, no problem.
They had the skills to carry out his plan.
Exactly. Exactly. They had changed, Contrail. They were willing to see to the fact that Joseph was the leader of the family. In some sense, although Jacob, our father, is the leader of the family, Joseph is in a parallel universe with Daddy, that Joseph is working with Yah says, and Daddy is in charge of the family, but this all this work for the benefit of everybody. Ain't nobody had a bone to pick. Everybody.
And you know
this,
that Jacob sent Judah ahead of everybody. He didn't send Reuben.
No.
He didn't send Simeon or Levi, who were older than Judah.
Right.
He trusted Judah more than his three oldest.
Because if Judah proved himself, Contrail.
Yes.
He proved himself worthy.
Yes.
And sometimes, Contrail, that's why I tell people, don't let your past hold you back. Don't lay in the mud. Get your butt out the mud. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Get out of that mud. Get the mud clean off of you. And then prove yourself to Yah and prove yourself to one another. We all got dirt on us, okay? It just seems that some of like the Waller and Seth Pitt, get up out that mud, clean yourself off, have a constructive relationship with the Elohim, and have a constructive relationship with one another. Improve yourself. That's all.
And you can see the seeds being planted for the nation, because
exactly.
Joseph is the leader of the whole family, and then you have Judah, who Jacob trusts.
Exactly.
When the kingdom split up, it split up into Joseph and Judah. When Moses died, the nation was led by Joseph and Judah, Joshua and Caleb.
Right.
So there's a pattern within our nation that we should recognize.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to recognize the intricate details of our relationship with one another, and most importantly, our relationship with the Most High. These intricate details of significance. Very significant in our relationship with one another today, a lack of in some cases. Praise the Most High. Thank you, God, for pointing that out. That was duly noted and should be duly noted in your maps. And he says, he tells them what to do. He tells them that you're shepherds for your occupation and have been to feed livestock. And they have bought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So it should be when Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation? That you said, your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth, even to now. But we also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Mizraimites. See, that's the kind of job didn't nobody want to take on. See, the job we had Didn't nobody, the Miserinites didn't want that kind of job. They felt, hey, man, I'm, that's beneath me. But it put
that's
us
like
in
the Mexican.
Right. But it put us in a prime position to become profitable. Joseph helped put us in a prime position to become profitable because the Miserinites, although they ate these things, they didn't want to be, they felt that was beneath them. So whatever the Most High gives you, and other people feel that it is beneath them, who cares how they feel? Long as it works for us. We too worried trying to get along with the Joneses and this modern-day Babylon, this modern-day Mizarine. We trying to get along with everybody. We trying to be on that level. We don't have to be on that level to be successful. We need to be on a level that the Most High places us on to be successful. That's why we're not successful. We're not unified. We don't speak with one voice. And the occupation we have is all over the place. And our little demons are all over the place along with our occupations. And we are a hot mess and a monstrosity because we're not unified and we don't listen to one another and we refuse to seek counsel from one another and we refuse to be on the same page. It doesn't matter what they do in the daughter of Babylon. It matters what we do together. Praise the Most High and bless his holy name. Contrail, Sister Abiyah, may I continue to bless you. And please, you have the mic.
You know what? I see a whole lot in this one. It's like I see all the trust and the obedience is what got them to the point where they at. Because if they was, if Jacob wasn't obedient to Yah or Joseph, they wouldn't have never made it to this destination, to this point.
Praise
Yah. That's what I say. Yah's plan always works. So the obedience has trust in it.
You better believe it. Good point, Sister Savia. Good point.
All praises. It also shows the wisdom of Joseph in that he already had things planned out for his family to where he could see they were close.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want them to be mingled up in the big cities of Egypt or involved with their culture. Because when you're on the farm in the farmland dealing with the herds and the cattle and the flock, you out there in peace, practically by yourself, which they were in the land of Goshen.
Exactly.
And it allowed them to formulate a stronger bond with each other as opposed to getting lost in the society of Egypt like we are today.
Exactly.
Like you said, Nelson, we caught up in every occupation. We all over the place. No unity. We got the wrong mindset.
Exactly.
Them being on the land with their flocks and their cattle and their herds put them more in tune with nature or creation than being caught up in the city life that probably everybody ran to when they went to Egypt.
Well, Katya, you remember me. And I was singing to my wife, Green Acres is the life of me. I'm living where I want to be. Land spread not so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, but give me that countryside. Praise Yah.
And the fact that you sang that song, that same stigma exists for farmers, don't it?
Exactly, Cartrell. That's the problem. But the farmers got the money.
they're the ones that feed everybody, right?
Exactly.
Okay. How much power, how much money is there feeding everybody? Okay.
Exactly. Praise God, Cartrell.
The plan was laid. And as a result, we became a nation within Egypt.
Right.
But that's putting the cart before the horse. I'm going to slow down.
I'm going to turn it sideways a little bit, Katya. I ain't going to put it front. But as a result of us on that farmland, we built strong bonds of relationship. We became prosperous. And that's all I'm going to say. I turned the wagon sideways. I'm going to turn it back.
And country people tend to be stronger than city people.
Right. Praise God, country. They are. Country people are stronger. They're eating the fresh of the land. They got fresh air. They eat. They don't
fresh
have all these antibiotics and stuff into their foods and whatnot. Yeah, they are quite healthy. Right. Thank you, country. Thank you, Sister Abigail. Thank you, fellow students. And most importantly, thank you, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, for giving us wisdom and understanding and letting your footstep be our pathways. Cartrell is about to present his last segment of the study, and it's quite lengthy, so y'all listen up. Praise the Most High and bless his holy name. Cartrell.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All praises to the Holy One of Israel. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 18.
Want me to read it, Cartrell?
Yeah, of course.
Yah, the sovereign Savior. Yah, the sovereign Savior, not Jesus. Yah. And let me tell you what it says in the notation under. To the chief musician, a psalm of King David, the servant of the Elohim, who spoke to the Elohim, who spoke to the Elohim the words of his song on the day that the Elohim delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of King Saul. And he said, and Kachra is going to tell you what he said.
Verse 1, I love you, Yah, my strength. How many of us say that?
Exactly.
Yah is my rock.
Yep.
My fortress and my deliverer. How many of us say that?
We need to.
I have to.
My Elohim, my rock. In whom I take refuge. How many of us take refuge in Yah, God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
We need to.
Hallelujah.
My shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. And we talk about a mighty man. This is his thoughts. This is his prayer. He was facing enemy greater and mightier than him, even his own king, King Saul.
Right.
I call on you, Yah, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. That's all you got to do. Put it in Yah's hand.
Praise Yah.
He's giving a vivid description of what he got to go through. He said, the cords of Sheol were around me. The snares of death came on me. How many of us could say that? But he was dealing with war and people trying to kill him.
Exactly.
The cords of death around me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. In my distress, I called on Yah and I cried to my Elohim.
Praise
he
God.
Heard my voice out of his temple. Wait a minute. Was the temple built in King David's time?
Nope.
Nope. So he knew that Yah was dwelling in his temple in the heavens, right?
Right.
He heard my voice out of his temple. My cry came before him into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
The foundations, also the mountains quaked and were shaken. Because he was angry. Smoke went out of his nostril. Consuming fire came out of his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. Imagine King David experiencing this.
Exactly.
Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on the cherubim and flew. Yes, he soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his pavilion around him. Darkness of waters, thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. Yah also thundered in the sky. The Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them. He rattled them with great lightning bolts. Then the channels of waters appeared. The foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, Yah, at the blast of your breath, of your nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They came on me in the day of my calamity, but Yah was my support. He brought me out also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Yah has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recomensed me. So you have to have that testimony for Yah to rescue you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be wicked and doing evil and iniquity and expect Yah to do the same thing for you that he does for the righteous.
Exactly.
For I have kept the ways of Yah
That's when Yah's going to save you, if you keep his ways. The New Testament says the ways of Yah are done away with. I don't know what they're talking about.
Okay.
The ways of Yah done away with? Uh-oh, okay. No, I'm going to keep the ways of Yah and have not wickedly departed from my Elohim. I'm not going to do wickedness and try to put it on Jesus. No, 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 no. I'm not going to do wickedness at all, because that's the way of Yah, right?
Exactly.
All, how many? All his ordinances were before me. That's why the king got to study, right? He just like us. He's studying that book day and night.
Every day.
What do you say? I did not put away his statutes from me. Some people don't want to listen to the show or they don't want to study. Okay. King
That's
David,
right.
He's in it to win it.
Yep. Just like we are.
Yes. I was also blameless with him. And that's how we have to be. Clean yourself up. Clean your act up. Yeah, I'll give you a chance.
Exactly. Don't be wallowing in the mud like I told you. Get out of the mud. Clean yourself up.
Yeah. I kept myself from my iniquity. Everybody got iniquity.
You better believe it.
But you got to fight yourself from the iniquity that you be doing.
Exactly. Bingo.
Yeah. You ain't pointing his finger at nobody else. I kept myself from my iniquity. Ain't nobody else to tell me. I'm fighting that battle myself.
You and I. You and I too, brother.
That's right. And when you do that, what do you say? Therefore, Yah has rewarded me according to my righteousness. He know he ain't perfect. He know he got iniquity. But he's battling that iniquity, and Yah is watching him battle that. And he said he's going to reward me because I've defeated it.
Praise Yah.
According to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. Are your hands clean in Yah's eyesight? If not, you better start cleaning yourself up. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. So who does Yah show himself merciful with?
With the people that show merciful. If you're merciful,
you got to show mercy. You got to be like Yah, right?
Right. You got to be merciful.
Yes. Yes. Yah is very merciful, isn't he?
Exactly.
Yes, he is.
People think that showing mercy is a sign of weakness.
No, it's a sign of strength, contrary. We can lose.
Definitely. With the perfect man, you will show yourself perfect. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. With the crooked, you will show yourself shrewd. But anyway, you come at Yah, he's going to come at you the way he's supposed to.
Exactly.
For you will save the afflicted people. Raise your hand if you're afflicted.
Yeah.
I got two hands and two feet.
But the arrogant eyes, how many of us got arrogant eyes? You know what? That's going to bring you down.
Exactly.
For you will light my lamp. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. For you will light my lamp, Yah. My Elohim will light up my darkness. And
Praise
we see the light, don't we? In the midst of all this darkness, we see the light, don't we?
Certainly do.
Mm-hmm. And why do we see the light? Because we study in Yah's word. Praise Yah.
Praise.
For by you, mighty man King David says, I advance through a troop. By my Elohim, I leap over a wall. He's giving Yah credit. He ain't saying, yo, I'm like Superman. I could do this. I got the power. I could jump over walls like Michael Jordan. No, he's saying, with Yah's help, I can leap over a wall. With Yah's help, I advance when I'm at war. As for Elohim, his way is perfect. Yah's word is tried. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in him. And he said, making testimony because he's a living example of it. For who is Elohim except Yah? That's a good question. If you ask people today, they're going to tell you Buddha, Allah, Jesus. King David, like, yeah, y'all got the answer wrong. He said, for who is Elohim except Yah? Who is a rock? Besides our Elohim, I don't care what the other nations are doing. The Elohim who honors me with strength and makes my way perfect. You're not making your own way perfect. The Most High is making your way perfect. But he did for Jacob's family, right? Because none of them was perfect. But he made a perfect way for them, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
He makes my fear like deer's feet and sets me on in high places. That's why all these basketball players can run and jump so high, and these Europeans wondering where we get that from. We get it from our fathers.
He's right.
We run like deer. He teaches my hand to war so that my arms bend bows of bronze. You also have given me the shield of your salvation. I want that too. Your right hand sustains me. I want that too. Your gentleness has made me great. You have enlarged my steps under me. My feet have not slipped. So all the success that King David had in his life, who's he giving the credit to? Exactly. I will pursue my enemies and overtake them. I won't turn away until they are consumed. Why? Because Yah is with me. I don't have to be afraid of them. I will strike them through so they will not be able to rise. They shall fall under my feet, for you have armed me with strength to the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me, that I might cut off those who hate me. Yeah, these people were greater and mightier than him. But with Yah, he had the ability to defeat them.
Exactly.
This is his testimony. They cried, but there was no one to save. Even to you, Yah. But he didn't answer them. Why should Yah answer them? Then I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I cast them out as the mire of the street. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. Uh-oh, he's talking futuristic. Uh-oh. As soon as they hear me, they shall obey me. The foreigners shall submit themselves to me. All futuristic. The foreigners shall fade away and shall come trembling out of their strongholds. Yah lives. Blessed be my rock. Exalted be the Elohim of my salvation. Even the Elohim who executes vengeance for me. Are you doing your own vengeance? Or are you letting Yah exact vengeance for you?
Yah did.
Yah said vengeance is mine, right?
That's what I have, Yah said.
And King David always let that play out. He didn't take vengeance on his own. He said, Yah executes vengeance for him and subdues people under him. He rescues me from my enemies. You think Yah will rescue us from our enemies?
I believe so.
Yes,
you will lift me up above those who rise up against me. How many people are rising up against us? You deliver me from the violent men. Are these people violent against us?
You better believe it.
They just had another case today where I think 7 police officers beat this brother to a pulp and killed her. Now they charge us in Virginia.
The wife and I talked about that. I said, because four of the officers were people of color. And as I told her, if you don't know the LOM, you're the most brutal people against your own people. You hate what remotely look like you, unfortunately. When you don't understand Yah and your relationship with your brothers and sisters, where you all have, you have a tendency to do that. That's why these studies are imperative.
And any one of us could fall into the hands of these violent men any given day.
Exactly.
Therefore, will I give thanks unto you. That's why we give thanks to Yah each and every day. Yah among the nations, and will sing praises to your name. So go ahead, Yah Su, keep on singing. He gives great deliverance to his king. All right, we're going to find out who's Yah's king, right?
Exactly.
He delivers his king. The king can't deliver himself, can he?
No.
No.
And shows loving kindness to his anointed. Was Jesus sub-anointed king or priest?
Nope.
So we're going to find out who this anointed is. It says to King David and to his offspring for how long?
Forever.
So King David's talking about everlasting life.
Exactly.
And if you don't understand, you can't pick it out when you read these type of psalms because you just don't understand what he's talking about. King David's talking about everlasting life. And he's saying that Yah's going to bring him back. And all these people waiting for the Messiah, they really waiting for King David.
Exactly.
But he is coming back. All praise.
Praise
Yah. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
But King David ain't saving nobody. Yah got to save him. That's what you got to know. So King David says, Yah's going to deliver me, his anointed, and his offspring, and they're going to be there forever.
Forever. Ain't going to be no peace, Katya, until the Most High is at the conference table. You know that, Sister Abby, I know that. The fellow students all know that. Because if you listen to Katya in these studies, you can only come to one conclusion. There ain't going to be no peace until Yah is at the conference table. And it's true. Mm-hmm. And to his chosen anointed one, which is King Dawud and his lineage, because as I see it, as Katria pointed out to you succinctly, Jesus wasn't anointed. As my wife told her kinfolks this weekend, breaking a jar of alabaster oil on your feet is not a form of anointing that we know of. It's true. Mm-hmm. And even if it were true, that oil has to be produced by specification, not olive oil. Okay. All right. Katria, thank you.
Olive oil is part of the formula.
It's not all of it, though, my friend. It's not all of
it. And it wasn't supposed to be duplicated either.
You better believe it. You better believe it. If you ain't a Levitical priest in that temple that's under the auspices of the Most High, you don't want to be doing that. You don't want to be making those compounds. So, goes without saying. Katria, thank you. Xavier, thank you. Fellow students, thank you. And Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, thank you for your mercy and your tender kindness. Thank you for your wisdom and understanding. And thank you for allowing your footsteps to be our pathways by virtue of your words. We love you, Most High, and bless you. We love you, fellow students, and bless you. Katriel Sustavia, I love you, and bless and thank you. Praise the Most High, and bless
you. Too,
thank you, brother. Y'all have the mics, and we finish saying goodnight. I'm going to let Katriel Sustavia say their goodnights to you.
As I always say, and especially tonight, be obedient. You seek Yah, you can put your trust in Yah. You can't just say, oh, I love Yah and go on about your business. You got
tell
to be
us,
obedient if you want to see forever. If you want forever, follow Yah's instructions, not your
tell
own.
Us,
so with that, shalom and good night. I love you all.
We love you, sister. Tell it, sister.
Love you too, sister. All praises. I just want to say that if y'all read Psalms 18 with us tonight, y'all need to read it 5 more times, because this particular psalm tells us who the Christ, the Messiah, the Mashiach really is. It ain't Jesus. It lets you know that it's King David. And King David ain't coming to save nobody. He's looking for the Most High to save him. And through the Most High saving him, Most High gives him the power to be the ruler of nations. So I suggest you really get into Psalms 18 and find out what King David, the writer of this song to the Most High, is talking about. And y'all better find out what Christ, Messiah, Mashiach really means, because it's only King David and the priests. So words of wisdom, words of advice. We need to study Yah's word, fall in line like King David, and be like King David. Let Yah be our shield, our strength, our high tower, our refuge, our deliverer, the source of our salvation. Because Jesus ain't coming. I just hate to tell y'all, he ain't coming. Praise Yah. We love Yah. Shalom and good night.
And we concur with Katria 200%. Praise the Most High. We love you. Shalom and good night.
There will never be peace. everybody has.